Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston, West Virginia welcomes you to our weekly time of worship and study of God's Word with Pastor Jesse Wagoner. So sit back, relax, and get comfortable, because when you're here, you're home. We are all looking for a place to feel at home. Pastor Jesse Wagoner and the congregation of Mount Calvary Baptist are ready to welcome you, because when you're here, you're home. With their warm, welcoming environment, you will feel right at home as you experience the life-changing power of Christ. Mount Calvary is located at 1509 Bigley Avenue in Charleston, West Virginia, at the Westmoreland exit, half mile north of the I-64, I-77 split. To learn more, visit calvarywv.com.
Well, thank you very much, Heather, and this is Pastor Jesse Wagoner, and I serve, and I have the privilege of serving as a senior pastor at Mount Calvary Baptist Church, and I want to welcome you as well to this time of worship and time in the Word that we present to you on the radio and via podcast every single week. So we're glad to have you joining us. Just want to mention to you, we are delighted to be able to give you this content, but also want to invite you that if you're in the Charleston area, that you could feel free to stop by and visit with us at one of our worship services. Currently, our worship service schedule, we have three morning worship services. The first is a traditionally styled service that meets at 8:45 in our sanctuary. We have a contemporary styled service that meets at 10 p.m. in the Connections Theater, which is next door to our sanctuary. And then at 11:15, we have a traditional service, and that's back in our sanctuary. If you want to know more about the times and sequence and get a little preview, just visit our website at calvarywv.com. In addition to this 30-minute program that we're delighted to bring to you every week, we also have the opportunity to share with you more content online. We have an online service that streams at 10 a.m. on Sundays. That's on our website, calvarywv.com. It's also on our Facebook and YouTube channel and various places like that via social media. But that is a full service with songs and interaction, prayer, time in the Word. So we invite you to watch as well as listen via that means. And we think that would be a wonderful opportunity for you. I also want to thank those that provide worship for us each week, the music that you hear on this broadcast. And just a few moments, they're going to come back with a wonderful song entitled Who I Am. And right after that, I'm going to be sharing a message that talks about how amazingly loved we are by God. You won't want to miss that. So you stick around. Enjoy this song and then have your Bible ready. And let's spend some time together, quality time together, studying and learning and growing in God's precious, holy Word. You stick around for that. It's coming at you right now.
The highest King would welcome me. I was lost, but He brought me in. Oh, His love for me. Oh, His love for me.
Through the Son sets free. Oh, it's free in me. I'm a child.
Did you know this about yourself? Before I tell you, let me just think about some of the things we do know about ourselves. And sometimes when we look deep into ourselves, we're less than satisfied. We all know that we have some flaws. We have some faults. we have some things that need to change, some things that we wish would change. We all know that there is room for improvement. And sometimes our frustration with ourselves about the need for that room for improvement can mask a reality that we really need to focus on, which is core to our relationship and our walk and our daily interaction with our Heavenly Father. And it affects our view of ourselves. So here's something I want to tell you about you. Stand by. You ready? You are amazingly loved by God. And if I could find some other word beyond amazingly, I could say awesomely, you know, completely, greatly. I could use all kind of words, but that's the one I've selected. But think about the love of God with me. And the fact is that you are loved. You're loved in a way that is different than anyone else could possibly love you. As great as it is to have people in our lives who love us, and I love being with the congregation that God has given me to shepherd. I love the people of our church. I love all of you that are part of this. And we need to love people even that aren't part of our church. We need to love everyone. But there's a special relationship to be around those people who you give love to and receive love back. And I thank you for that. But Jesus' love, our Heavenly Father's love, is far above that. Now, I want to take you to two verses that's found in Colossians chapter 1. And you're going to find out that indeed we are amazingly loved by Him. Now, I want to ask you to do this. If at all possible, as you're listening today, if you could have a Bible with you, it would really help. Because we're going to get down into the individual words of these two verses and really try to understand them and get the meaning out and dig deep. If you don't, that's okay. We'll try to have things on the screen that'll help you along. But it would not be as good as having your own Bible with you and handy. So if at all possible, I encourage you to do that. But verses 19 and 20, Colossians chapter 1, here they are. For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Well, there's not any statement about love there. The word love does not appear in those two verses. But love is all over those two verses. This is love not just in words. This is love in action. And we're going to experience and we're going to investigate once again the amazing love that God has for you and all of us. So let's just see if we can delve into that. Now, the first part of this, he says, for it pleased the Father, that's God the Father, and we're talking about the triune God here, so we're just looking at Father and Son, that in Him, that's a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So it pleased the Father that invested in Jesus was something, placed in Jesus. Maybe we should say it this way, maybe placed upon Jesus was something. And that is the responsibility that God determined He should have. We're going to say it this way. Jesus, first of all, we looked at this reality. Jesus lovingly assumed the responsibility to save people like us. People who were lost. People who were enemies of God. People who were unbelievers, people who had a record going into our past and all the way up to our present, a record of sin and had no great prospects of any change in the future. But He took upon Himself, the responsibility to save us. Let's look together. This responsibility, first of all, was something that God desired. It came deep from within Him. It came out of His heart. For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell. So that pleasing is what He wanted. It's what He desired. It's what gave Him the satisfaction that in this rightness of the whole process. This is what He wanted to do. That's the first hint you have of what we would just say it this way. Unconditional love. It's not based on our performance. It's not based on how good or bad we are. It's not based in real time on how our performance is today. It's not based on us. It's based on His desire and then that responsibility. It says that in Him, Jesus, all the fullness should dwell. That's the responsibility and the unique qualifications that He had to be our Savior. You know, many times people are stuck. And if this is you, listen carefully, are stuck in the thought that I can somehow be good enough to go to heaven. Let me just tell you, that's a lie that comes from Satan himself. That's a lie, that's a deception that comes from the pit itself. Because if we think we can save ourselves, we will do all sorts of things and we'll compare ourselves to everyone else. But it ultimately leads to this, eternal destruction. because we're told that we cannot produce works of righteousness. All of our righteousness, as it says in the Old Testament, are just like filthy, discarded rags. It's not of works lest we should boast. So it's not of works that we don't do something to be saved. He's already done something to allow us to be saved. All we need to do is accept that gift through faith. And it says, so first of all, this responsibility was the desire of God. He desired to love and express that love in the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about how much you're loved today. We're going to talk about some ways that may work out in life in just a moment. But you are loved. You are the object of His love. In our home, we have a refrigerator, and it's metal, and there's lots of little magnets on the side of it and some around on the front. And oftentimes when our grandchildren will send us something or collar us something, and sometimes it's just scribbles that we can't even understand what it is. But you know what? We love that person right there on the refrigerator. We love seeing those things from the people we love. It's been stated this way. It was an old quote by Max Lucado, but he said, if God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. He loves you. He values you, not because of you're deserving it, but because He loves us, because He is a God of love. He has a heart of love. He desired to love us. And that responsibility that Jesus took was one driven by love. And okay, secondly, where He says that in Him all the fullness should dwell. Now, this is a weighty concept and one that I can't fully flesh out for you. I'm convinced I can't fully understand it. Maybe none of us can understand it. But at least we can move in that direction. And you understand that we can appreciate things that we don't fully understand, right? And we can appreciate them because if God is beyond us, we're left with that sense of awe, that sense of wonder, that sense of you're beyond us, and I love you for that. So He says this, that in Him all the fullness should dwell. In other words, all the attributes of God He had, all the qualification He needed for salvation He had, all of the responsibility was on Him. On Him, not us, not works, on Him. And this is where we see love in action, that this love was all on His responsibility, all on His shoulders. You remember the thief on the cross, the great story from the Gospels. There were two thieves, they were called. Insurrectionists probably might be a good way to say it. On either side of Jesus had the middle cross. One of them looked at Jesus and heaped scorn upon Him. The other looked at Jesus and said these words. Amazing words of faith, by the way, because he couldn't see any of this with his own eyes. He saw it through eyes of faith. He said, remember Me when you come into your kingdom. Well, Jesus didn't look like a king. Didn't look like he had any prospects of a kingdom, but he believed anyway. And Jesus says, today you'll be with Me in paradise. Today you will be, on the authority of Christ, you'll be with Me in paradise. That man was never baptized, never joined a church, never did good works, never gave anything to missions or to God's service or to charity. He never was able to clean up his act. He was never able to go do nice things to people that he once had wronged. All he did was believe Jesus and died. Why? Because the responsibility for salvation was not on the left cross or the right cross. It was in the center cross. And Jesus took that responsibility. So when it says fullness, that means all that was necessary. We might be a way of saying it this way. He was fully qualified to be your Savior. And this is what I want to encourage you to do, to rest in the fully qualified Savior. Why? Because you're amazingly loved. That's what drove the whole process. Now, sometimes we don't feel real loved, and sometimes this is a real handicap to us in our spiritual development. You know, sometimes we feel like, you know what, I don't measure up. And sometimes that comes from our upbringing or some trauma we've had in life or maybe failed opportunities and endeavors or even relationships. I'm just not good enough. I'm second best. I'm always the also-ran. I'm always the afterthought. I'm always the one on the bench, not the one that's invited into the game. I don't measure up. You know what you need to think about today? That God, in His desire and in His actions, put on Jesus all the responsibility to save us, all driven by His amazing love for you. You and I need to open our hearts. We need to remind ourselves often of this, and that's why we come to this portion of God's Word today. Remind ourselves often that indeed we are amazingly loved. And sometimes when we're down on ourselves and we're thinking about a performance, see if you can make this change, okay? See if you can do this exchange. I'm going to exchange my poor performance and think about the perfect performance of the Lord Jesus, who in the fullness of all things accomplished this. Look at this next verse, verse 20. And by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven. So somehow in the death of Christ, and again, this is in the deep part of the pool, okay? He has made everything reconciled back to him. He's brought everything back to that. And we'll talk more about that in just a moment. But the fact is, he's brought everything to a place of where it should be because he loves you. I don't measure up. I'm not good enough. You're not, because in our sin, we don't measure up. In our sin, we don't accomplish anything. But it's not about that. It's about what he has done. We're amazing in love. Sometimes we're stuck at this point. I don't have any hope of change. I don't have any hope that things will ever be different in my life. You know, the trauma and the dysfunction and the pain of the past always just keeps flowing back in. And we just have a real difficult time connecting with his love. Let me encourage you. Rest in this fully qualified Savior and his amazing love. And remember, it's not about what you have done. It's not about what you haven't done. It's not about what you could have done. It's not about what you should have done. It's not about what you would have done. It's all about what he has finished. And you, friend, are amazingly loved by God. Now, let's go to the second part of that. Let's talk about this reconciliation for a moment. This takes us to our second point. Jesus lovingly accepted this, the requirements for our salvation. He did everything that he needed to do. So first of all, he accepted the position. He was qualified to do it. And then he actually did it in actions along the way. He says in this verse 20, he's reconciled, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him. Notice it's all in him. This is all him. Whether things on earth or things in heaven. Now, if you reconcile something, you're getting two things to match up. I'm not sure how many people do this in the digital world, but in the old days, you'd get a bank statement in the mail, and the bank would say, here's your transactions, you have this much money in the bank, and you would have a check registry, and you'd sit down, and you would try to balance these things or reconcile these two accounts, and to work it out so that this number matched up to this number. If they're off, then you need to keep digging and figure out what's wrong to reconcile all things. Now, I have another picture that flows into my mind. It's my yard, our lawn. I guess we don't have a lawn. We have a yard. Okay, but you know, work on it all last summer and all that sort of thing, and then you come into the spring, what do you got to do? Well, we got the dandelions are popping up. We got to put some weed and feed on there. There's some bare spots. We need to get some new grass seed and try to fill in those bare spots. We need to mulch around the plants. We need to pull weeds and some of the debris from the flower beds. Why? Because it was right once last year. Then over the winter and fall and the early spring, it doesn't match what it should be. So all that work is done to bring it back in alignment with at least what I think our lawn should look like, our yard should look like. It's fixing what's wrong. Now, in the original creation, everything was as it should be. Everything was relating to God as it should be. It was a peaceful place. There was no death, no dying. Adam and Eve were living in perfect harmony, not only with their environment, but also with their Creator. But then sin comes in and everything is messed up. Everything is out of sync, if we could say it that way, with God himself. So what happens when Jesus died on the cross, everything is resynced back to him. Everything is reconciled back to him. Now, from the believer standpoint, we understand that. We are saved. We're made righteous. We've believed in Christ. We've come to him. We're one of his children. But what about unbelievers? What about those who reject? What about people who are just bent on evil? What about Satan and the fallen angels? Well, I'm not quite sure I can explain this, and I'm not sure I could understand all that's implied, but I think something like this is in play. Everything is in the process and has been declared to be true. It will actually flesh out in time, but everything will be put in place in a place of sinking, a place of reconciliation with God. Those people who reject Christ, they at least had a legitimate offer that whosoever will may be saved. Those fallen angels that have rejected him, and it doesn't seem in Scripture that fallen angels can be redeemed, but because of the judgment through the cross of Christ, they will be in even the place of judgment is a place of reconciliation. So this marker in life of where Jesus' death on the cross brings all things, and it will bring all things eventually back into sync, back into reconciliation with him. You see, this was a requirement that would affect anything and everything. All of creation needs to be restored in a rightful alignment with God, either through judgment or through redemption. For us, we see it in the love relationship. You are amazingly loved because he wanted us to be resynced with him, to have our sins under the blood so that we can now hear him, live with him, live for him, be changed more and more like him in character. He loved you enough to do that. And here's the overarching requirements, the end of verse 20. It says this, having made peace, this peace between, you have peace, only to establish peace, it has to be true that you had warring parties. So we were warring against God. We were enemies of God. We've already talked about that earlier. But he brought us back into sync, into reconciliation. His great peace mission included this. Let me read this end of verse 21. Having made peace through the blood of his cross. The requirement to make peace is through the blood of Jesus Christ. We're told in Hebrews chapter 9 that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There had to be blood shed. His body was pierced. His blood spilled. That was the price for sin. And so we do not have to face that judgment. He took that judgment upon himself. Why? Because you are amazingly loved by God. When we think about the death and the shed blood and the broken body, we think about the gift of Christ taking on himself the responsibility for our salvation and accepting all the requirements of accomplishing our salvation, even through shedding his blood on the cross. Everywhere stamped all over that truth are the words, or could be, amazingly loved. Friends, when you need a good dose of love, don't look through a drawer to find some card or letter from someone of the past that expressed love. Don't start anyway with your relationships. Not that you can't find love from people, but the starting point is always at the cross of Jesus. Run back to the cross. Hang out at the cross. Spend time at the cross. Meditate and worship at the foot of the cross. That's where love takes place. You know, sometimes we have doubts, and we need to have those things just kind of flushed out. Let me just say it this way. We need to rest in the fully finished salvation that we have. And it all comes because we're amazingly loved. Our salvation, if you've come to him in faith, has been settled. If you've never come to him in faith, we'd love to have a talk with you and encourage you and answer your questions and help you come to Christ. That invitation is always open. But if you're one of his children today, salvation is fully finished. Jesus has done all that needs to be done. He died. He rose again the third day. He's ascended in heaven. He's seated at the right hand of God. Someday he's going to come back and collect his church to be with him for all eternity. But sometimes we have some doubts. What do you need to do? You need to rerun your belief system. Well, I'm a sinner, created by God. I'm a sinner. Jesus died. He paid sin's price. I believe in that. He promises to give me salvation. He rose again. He's at God's right hand. I believe those things. Do you believe those things? If you do, that'll flush out those doubts. And when the doubts are flushed out, our hearts can be flooded once again with the realization of the amazing love of Almighty God and the love of our Savior. Sometimes we feel like, you know, I'm just not worthy. And sometimes we beat ourselves up, we wallow in self-blame, and we just kind of, it just tears us down and pulls us down. Well, you know what? In our sin, we are not worthy of this salvation. But in Christ, in him, yes, you are worthy because he's made you worthy. Because he's now taken his righteousness and put it on you. How's he done that? Last phrase of verse 20. Made peace, having made peace through the blood of his cross. He died for you. My encouragement to you is this. Think today about how amazingly loved you are. And the more you think about that, let it push out some of those awful thoughts that sometimes creep in. Our doubts that we don't measure up, there's no hope, there's no change. Is this really real? Let them be replaced with the fact of what God says in his word. And maybe these two verses would be a good couple of verses to commit to memory, to remind that he's reconciled all things, heaven and earth, to himself, that he desired, he was pleased that the responsibility would rest on Jesus, that Jesus willingly accepted this responsibility, and through the blood of his cross, he's made peace between us and God. Rest today in the amazing love of God and the fact that you are amazingly loved by God himself.
Thank you for joining us for this time of worship and study brought to you by Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston, West Virginia. If you are in the Charleston area, we would love for you to worship with us in person. For service times and more information, visit our website, calvarywv.com. Until next time, may his blessing be yours.